Good to see everyone this morning, and we're so thankful that you're here today. We're going to be thinking a little bit about the topic of prayer this morning, and so I invite you to open your Bibles up at this time, and we welcome our online audience as well. We're glad that you are with us also, and we're going to be looking at several verses this morning about prayer. I'd like to start off with Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It's so sort of fundamental, if you will, in regard to prayer being part of the worship of God's people. In Acts chapter 2, of course, we're familiar with that chapter. It's where the church began on the day of Pentecost, and the apostles were there teaching and preaching and doing many things on that particular day. We don't have the entire record of everything that was said and done. We just have what God has revealed to us about that day. But one of the things that is said here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says that the people there who became Christians, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so prayer was certainly one of the formative aspects of worship within the early church. And as we see going forward, prayer became a very important part of the church. As we see from Acts chapter 4 and verses 24 to 31, there as the apostles had been taken by the governing authorities and imprisoned, and then they were released, and then by an angel, and then they came and took them again and then beat them. And then after that, they met with the church. And it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, "So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." And so this is one of the first prayers that is recorded in the book of Acts. The church gathered together, praying this prayer together. And so as we think about prayer this morning, I would like for us to consider that prayer is part of what we do as a faithful child of God. Prayer is something that we do together as God's people as well. Let's think about our worship in prayer. First of all, let's think about the character of prayer. What is prayer? Well, when we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul writes these words to Timothy. He says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." Let's break this apart just momentarily and think about these various different parts of prayer as it's discussed here in this verse. First of all, there are supplications. The Greek word for supplication means reverence before sovereignty. It was used in situations where petitions were made before kings. The word prayer itself literally means an attitude of bending the knee before the Lord, before deity. The word expresses the idea of a wish or desire, requesting to have things done in a particular way. The word intercessions, it's the idea of going on behalf of another, and it's asking for something for someone else. Prayers for the sick are usually this type of prayer, intercessory prayers. And then there are thanksgivings. The word thanksgiving, of course, is familiar to us. It's the expression of gratitude, the giving of thanks, and it is to be uttered in regard to all the blessings that come our way. And so there is, you know, kind of the character of prayer, the supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. And then we look at the circumstances of prayer secondly. And so as we're thinking about prayer, the character of prayer, what it is, but then secondly, what are the circumstances in which we are to pray? And there are various different circumstances on which we may pray. We can pray at all times, at all places, somehow and in some way. There are no limits to the circumstances of prayer. But let's just look at a few that are in the scriptures themselves. Well, first of all, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, the apostle writes to Timothy, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." And so prayers that are to be done in public situations, as Paul is talking about in this context, are to be led by men. There are general prayers as well that we looked at a minute ago in thinking about the prayers for kings and all that are in authority to lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And those types of prayers are general in nature. But we also see that there are prayers that are specific in nature. That is, there are some prayers that are to be led for special occasions. And one of them is, of course, the prayers that we lead around the table of the Lord's Supper. And Paul talks about those prayers in 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 23 through 25. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks," notice he specifically says, "when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, in other words, when he took the cup, he also gave thanks. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so the prayer for the Lord's Supper is a special prayer, a prayer that is to give thanks for the bread and for the fruit of the vine and for the Lord and the life that he gave and the death that he died and the blood that he shed. And so here's a special prayer. There are also closing prayers, and we see an example of a closing prayer, the circumstance of a closing prayer in Acts chapter 20 and verse 36, when it says there about the Apostle Paul meeting with the elders at Ephesus, that the end of their meeting, that when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And so there are closing prayers, and these are prayers that are done in the assemblies. So general prayers, prayers regarding the Lord's Supper, closing prayers, and there are prayers that we may pray on special occasions, like for those who are baptized or for those who are asking for forgiveness. But then outside of the assembly, there are prayers that we may utter in other circumstances, such as around the dinner table. In 1 Timothy 4, in verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received, notice, with thanksgiving." So there's the prayer of thanksgiving for the food that we eat. "For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." And so prayer, it makes holy the food that we eat. And so it is appropriate to pray around the dinner table. Jesus prayed for the food that he received in the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 19, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 36, the 4 and the 5,000. And so prayer is appropriate around the dinner table. But there are prayers that are prayed in private devotion as well. Jesus was one who was a man given to prayer. In Mark 6 and verse 46 it says, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." He spent a tremendous amount of time in prayer with his Father. In thinking about the different things that he did, sometimes he went into the wilderness and prayed. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16 says, and of course, before his crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed." Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. And so there are prayers that are uttered in times of private devotion, private worship to the Lord. And Jesus is such a great example of those prayers. But we also have the example of the Apostle Paul, who prayed constantly for the churches. For example, in Ephesians 1 and verse 16, he said that he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, he gave thanks." He prayed for them, requested for them, interceded for them in prayer. And then in Colossians 1 and verse 9, he writes, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And so the Apostle Paul was a man given to prayer, praying constantly for the churches with whom he worked and served and labored constantly. And so prayer is an important part of our personal life as well. And so we can pray in the context of prayer, pray in the assemblies, pray in times of devotion, pray at the dinner table, and pray for the Lord's people as well. But then third, we're going to look at the content of prayer. We're going to see what should we say when we pray. And, of course, there are some times when we have very specific prayers, such as around the Lord's table. We give thanks. That is the prayer we should pray. That would not be the time to pray for, the sick or for the leaders of our country or something like that. That would not be the time to pray for those individuals. That is the time to give thanks for the Lord's body and for the Lord's blood. And so we focus on those things very specifically in those prayers. But in other contexts of prayer, we can pray for these other things. And when we pray, how should we pray? Well, first of all, when we pray, that our address in prayer needs to be to the Father. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote that we are to pray to God the Father through him, that is, through Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, in the model prayer, Jesus starts that prayer with this: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And so praying to the Father is how we address our prayers. Well, what about the body of our prayers? Well, and when we pray, there are many things that we can do, but one of the things that we need to do when we pray is to give thanks. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." And so we can give thanks. We can give thanks for Jesus. We can give thanks for God's word. We can give thanks for our jobs, for our families, for the food that's on our table. Anything that you can think of the great blessings in life that God has given us, we should give thanks for those things. And thanksgiving ought to be a significant part of the content of our prayer. But then also, we may request guidance in our prayers. We can ask for God's help. Sometimes we ask for help in our own lives, for ourselves, for us to have the attributes that God wants us to have, such as prayers for humility or prayers for wisdom, as James talks about in James chapter 1. Prayers for patience, maybe, or prayers for forgiveness for some sin that we may have committed. We may pray for the church, as the example of the Apostle Paul, and pray for the church's guidance and work and the specific works that the churches do. We may pray for our families, pray for each person in our families, for our fathers, for our mothers, for our children, for our brothers and sisters, for our husbands, for our wives. These are all appropriate individuals to pray for when we are asking for help and guidance. Certainly, as we've already mentioned, we can pray for our government. We should pray for our leaders. We should pray for peace in the world. And if there's any other thing that we can think of that in which we need aid and help, we can ask those things of God. There are specific people that we may want to pray for who come into our lives and who have an impact on our life. We may want to pray for them. There may be those who are sick who need prayer, and we ask for prayers for them. And then there are those maybe whose loved ones have passed away for whom we will pray. There is also in the Bible some specific prayers for specific individuals, such as prayers for our enemies, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, prayers for the sick, James chapter 5 verses 13 and 14, prayers for more workers in the kingdom, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, prayers for the gospel to go forth, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Prayers that our love may abound more and more, Philippians 1 and verse 9. Prayers that God will open doors for us, Colossians 4 and verse 3. And then at the end of our prayer, we are to pray in Christ's name, Colossians 3 and verse 17, because Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is the one who is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, our high priest. And while we pray to the Father, Jesus Christ is listening to those prayers. And he hears those prayers and he mediates for us when we pray according to the scriptures. And that should be 1 John 2 and verse 1, which says, "Beloved, I write these things that you sin not. But if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." And so there is the content of prayer. Addressed to the Father, we give thanks, we ask for guidance, we may pray for specific things, and then we close the prayer through the authority or the name of Jesus Christ. But then finally this morning, let's think about the consequences of prayer. Yes, there are consequences to prayers. And these are good consequences. And when we think about the consequences, James chapter 5 and verses 15 through 18 comes to mind. Notice what James says. He says, "The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. But James is clearly talking about the consequences of prayer, and prayer is consequential. And we can know that when we pray, God is hearing those prayers and that they will have an effect on the world around us. In Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7, we read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And notice the consequence. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And so there is a peace that is to be had through prayer. And as we continue to pray, we will begin to see the consequences of prayer within our lives. As we mentioned, our prayers will be heard by God. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And so the prayers of the righteous are heard, and we need to pray. Remember the parable of the unjust judge, Luke 18 and verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying," and here's the parable, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." So the idea here is that we are to pray to God and that he will hear those prayers so much more than even the unjust judge who did it for selfish reasons. God hears and answers for good motives, for good reasons. And so Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verses 7 through 11, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And that's exactly the point. God is good, and he gives good things. And when we ask, he will hear our prayers, and he will answer in a good way. And we're so thankful that we have a God who answers our prayers. Well, we've looked at our worship in prayer this morning. The character of our prayer. What prayer is? It's thanksgiving. It's intercession. It's requests, what the circumstances of prayer are in the assemblies, around the dinner table, in private, what the content of prayer should be, addressed to the Father, making thanksgiving, making requests, and then also closing our prayer by the authority of Jesus Christ. And then the consequences of prayer. There are beautiful spiritual consequences. There are beautiful, helpful consequences in life. Prayer changes things. And so we need to be a praying people. Are you praying? I hope you're praying. I hope every Christian is praying right now regarding the circumstances of the world and regarding all of the things that go on around us. And I hope that you're asking God for help and giving Him thanks for the wonderful blessings that we indeed have each and every day. Let's be a praying people. And maybe you need prayer this morning and you would like to request that prayer. You may do so in person, or you may do so online. We would be happy to pray with you and for you. Or maybe that there is someone out there who would like to get on a right footing with God. Remember, it was the prayers of the righteous that God hears. He does not hear the prayer of the wicked, as Peter wrote. And so we need to be on a right footing with God. We need to have Jesus Christ as our mediator for our prayers to be heard. And maybe someone would like to get on that right footing with God this morning by hearing the gospel and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as their Lord and Savior and mediator, and then being baptized to identify with Jesus, to become part of the body of Christ, to have one's sins washed away so that one may stand in a right relationship with God and thus pray boldly to Him. And this morning, if there's someone in our audience that needs to respond, or if there's someone who's watching who needs to respond, make your request known to us somehow, some way, and we will help you while together we stand and while we sing this song of invitation.